High gas prices and an economic slowdown have decimated auto sales. But Americans still buy roughly 14 million new cars, minivans, SUVs, and pickup trucks each year. And on virtually every one of those transactions, we get taken. The National Automobile Dealers Association says their members actually lose $30 or so on every new car they sell. But that doesn't mean we are getting anything close to a fair bargain. That's because what the dealers lose on the cars, they more than make up for by sticking us with outrageous finance charges and overpriced add-ons like extended warranties, rust-proofing, and paint sealants. The extended warranties alone bring in upward of $5 billion a year, three-quarters of which is pure profit. The fact is, even without the tricks and scams, buying a new car is almost always a bad investment. If you're hooked on newness and the latest technology, it makes much more sense from a financial point of view to go for a 1 or 2 year old low-mileage used vehicle. That's because new cars take their biggest depreciation hit in the first year after they roll off the dealer's lot, typically losing 25% to 30% of their value. Really savvy consumers let someone else absorb that loss and buy nearly new cars, which are generally still under manufacturer's warranty, are equipped with most of the latest bells and whistles, and have suffered relatively little wear and tear for less than 70 cents on the dollar. Then again, economic common sense has never been much of a match for new car lust. Maybe we shouldn't buy them, but we do. And if we're going to do it, we might as well do it right. How to fight for your money. There are roughly 21,000 new car dealers in the United States. They comprise the exclusive channel through which new cars are distributed, so if you buy a new car, it will probably be through one of them. As a group, car dealers have a pretty crummy reputation. This may not be totally fair, but it is understandable. It wasn't all that long ago that practices like rolling a stiff, urging prospective customers to take a car home overnight, only to threaten them the next morning with arrest for Grand Theft Auto if they didn't pay for the car immediately, were practiced more widely than anyone would like to admit. These sorts of outrageous scams have pretty much been eliminated, but we still think of car salesmen as scary, and for good reason. Most of them work on commission, and many subscribe to the belief that once a customer walks into the showroom, it's their job to do whatever it takes to make sure he or she does not leave without signing a sales contract. So if you've decided to buy a new car, understand what you're getting yourself into. The typical dealership is not a friendly oasis, but rather a vicious battleground. Here are a few key do's and don'ts. Focus on the price. In an effort to maximize profits, car dealers try to manipulate every variable involved in the car buying process, from the cost of financing to the price of the floor mats. In this cutthroat environment, the best way to protect your money is to focus on one number and one number only, the purchase price of the car. This may seem obvious, but the one thing most car dealers don't really want to talk about is the price. That's because once they commit to a price, it's much harder for them to bamboozle you into taking their money-making add-ons, like dealer financing, without the extra cost being obvious. So instead of giving you a straight answer when you ask how much a particular car costs, the dealer will ask you what kind of monthly payment you're looking for. Tell him you're not looking for a monthly payment, you're looking for a car. If he still won't name a price, take your business elsewhere. Know the real price, not the fake MSRP. To get the best possible deal, you need to educate yourself in advance about what the dealer actually paid for the car you're interested in, the cost of all the options you want, what kind of incentives and rebates the manufacturer is offering dealers, and how much of a markup local market conditions currently allow. It is these figures, and not the manufacturer's suggested retail price, the MSRP you'll find on the window sticker that should serve as the basis for your negotiations. Such information is available online from sources like Cars.com, Consumer Reports, www.consumerreports.org, Edmunds.com, and Kelley Blue Book, www.kbb.com. Keep in mind that the invoice price of a car is not the dealer's true cost, since it generally includes what's called a holdback, a fee, usually 2% to 4% of the MSRP, that most car manufacturers pay their dealers each time they sell a car. On top of this, there are often factory-to-dealer incentives, particularly near the end of a model year, that can lower the dealer's cost still further. This is what makes it possible for dealers to make what they hope you will regard as an offer you can't refuse. If they sense you're not a pushover, they will sometimes take you aside, compliment you on your negotiating skills, and offer to let you have the car for just $1 over invoice. To demonstrate their sincerity, they may even show you a copy of the invoice. All well and good, but this is definitely an offer you can and should refuse, since the invoice price is actually an artificial construct. What you want is a deal pegged to the dealer's actual cost, which, as a result of all those kickbacks and rebates, may be hundreds of dollars less than the invoice price. What a 2009 VW Jetta really costs. MSRP, $19,090. Invoice price, $18,445. Dealer's actual cost, $18,063. Hundreds of dollars might seem like a reasonable profit for a dealer to make, but even on a $20,000 car, it's actually a very narrow margin, no more than a few percentage points. This is why, as we will see, most dealers try to squeeze as much profit as they can out of service, financing, options, and extended warranties. It's because they can't make a decent profit on the sale of the car itself.